Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line, and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is Steve Pearson. He and Jess Craven have launched a new show called The Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical. We're going to talk about his new show, how to cope with what's going on right now, and things that we can do to help save democracy. But before we get into it,
the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup.
Now, please enjoy my conversation with Steve Pearson. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
It's so good to be back here with you. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's good to have you. And you are also on MSW Media. You used to host the How We Win pod. Now you've got this new podcast, The Practivist Pod. So I want you to talk about that and Jess Craven and all the good stuff.
Yeah, I'm, you know, as excited about it as anyone can be excited about any political thing right now. But after 5 years of doing How We Win, and over 200 episodes interviewing everyone from Stacey Abrams and Speaker Pelosi and Billy Eichner and all those kind of folks, we needed to rebrand and reset, you know, coming into this new space that we're in. And one thing that I have learned as an organizer since I started doing this work after Trump was elected the first time in 2016 was that this is definitely a marathon. You know, this, you know, it's difficult to live and die by every win or loss. But what we do all need to do is make activism and community engagement just part of our daily lives. We need to make it a practice. So that's why we came up with, you know, The Practivist. It's the practice of activism made practical. And Jess Craven, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know who she is. She is a absolute dynamo. She's unstoppable. She has been putting out this great newsletter, Chop Wood, Carry Water, giving people both the good news about what's happening and also really practical ways to get engaged and make an impact. So it's the perfect perfect collaboration. I'm really excited. And Jess has been a friend for a long time, too. So we have a lot of fun doing it together.
That's awesome. And it's so important because I know so many people are stressed out right now for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And every single day, it's like a gut punch. So before you start talking about the show, can you tell us a little bit about Blue Wave California?
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. Blue Wave California has one mission, and that's to elect Democrats to Congress in California. And as you and your listeners probably know, the road to taking back the House in the midterms in 26 goes right through California once mm-hmm. again. And we had, sort of the bright spot of a really dark election cycle was being able to flip a few seats here in California and, create that razor thin majority in the House that the Republicans have right now. And, we don't need to express to anyone right now how important it is that we take power back and what it would mean to take control of Congress in the midterms. So, Elon Musk, the Republican, machine is pouring already so much money mm-hmm. into these races. So by organizing and raising money for these candidates early we're setting up basically like a district fund for a nominee fund for a few seats that we want to flip. So we can start raising money and then give it to whoever ends up being the Democratic nominee in those races. So I'm excited because I get to lead an organization doing what I would be doing anyway, because California is my home and we know how important it is.
Yeah, definitely. And that's also really cool. We're going to talk about midterms and Elon in a bit. Yeah. But before we get into that exciting news, why don't you just tell us about, I know your latest show is with Randy Weingarten. So could you mm-hmm. talk a little bit, that came out today. So could you talk a little bit about what you guys talked about on that show?
Oh my gosh. If no one has heard Randy Weingarten, she is absolutely just a shiro, incredible, incredible person. She's been leading American Federation of Teachers for a long time. She's the president of AFT. And, we talked, I was actually surprised about the conversation because, I definitely wanted to get into the brass tacks of what's happening right now and how they're organizing and how we can support labor. Every move against fascism has been led by labor organizers in our mm-hmm. history. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important, whether you're in a union or not, and that we support labor organizers in this moment. So we did talk about all of that, but we also talked a lot about just the importance of building community and how we, stay sane through, again, what we were saying earlier, the highs and the lows and this onslaught that we're facing right now, and the importance of just doing simple things with the people that you love and in your own community and the great gift that we get from doing this work that goes beyond whatever we're able to help out with or however we're able to move the needle. I get so much more out of this than I give because, it keeps me sane and it fulfills me to be part of this joyful community. So we covered a lot more than I thought, but she's just a really inspiring, inspiring person. And so I'm excited for people to hear that interview.
Yeah, and I want to once again emphasize, because of where we are right now in this whole political nightmare, podcasts like this one are so important because, I mean, I know I don't have to say it, but I'm gonna say it because it's like a form of it's a form of self-care, and everybody needs to have some good news. I know how difficult it is, and just really briefly, I know you and I talked privately, and I promise you, I'm not gonna go way into this, but that's why I have my other podcast, which is called The Seeker. I've got it on Substack and Patreon. And it's basically about, yes, it covers manifesting, but I really hate that term because it makes it sound like it's magic. Mostly what I like to talk about on that is our inner conversation and how our outer world is shaped by our inner conversation. So if you're telling yourself all these negative things all the time, if you're focusing, especially if you're focusing on things that have not yet happened and you live in that, things that I'll say negative things that we deem negative. If you're focusing on, this could happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen when it hasn't yet happened, And it very well may happen. We don't know. But it's like when we start catastrophizing, when we start jumping ahead of ourselves, I mean, it can be extremely lonely and terrifying. And there are just so many scary things. And yeah. I think that, you know, what I like to talk about is not so much deluding yourself or ignoring reality. I think it's important that we understand what's happening right. And we take all the action we can. But then when there's nothing left to do and you're just alone with your thoughts, we have a little bit more power than we realize because we can direct our thoughts. And at first it's just like working out, you know, it's a little awkward or it's maybe a little bit difficult, but the more you start doing it, the more you start feeling comfortable and it becomes your new normal. And that's the only thing that's really kept me from completely losing it is being able to direct my thoughts to where I would prefer. And I just take, you know, I take what's happening and I deal with it. And I, you know, I like I said, I'm not delusional about it and I don't lie to myself about it. I just try not to dwell. So anyway, that's just
I love that.
Yeah.
And I love the analogy about working out too, because I was thinking about this a lot and I was having this conversation with my wife, Melinda, just yesterday. Even in the best of times, you know, whatever it is about the human condition, we spend most of our time thinking about what we don't have, what we want, grievance, perceived grievance, resentments. And it takes practice and intention, like you said, like working out to think about what we're grateful for. And I think that's such an interesting thing. I mean, I guess it varies person to person. There's some people who are just naturally a little bit more, you know, I'd say glass half full or grateful than others. But you know, most people, you know, it really takes a practice of waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I'm going to start my day making a gratitude list and doing stuff like that. And in this climate, it's essential. It's part of an act of defiance to have hope. And you know, I don't know if can we swear on your show. Is that okay?
Yes, we fucking can.
Okay, because I don't care what is happening. Like, of course I care what's happening, but I am not going to let these motherfuckers take away our joy. I'm not going to let these motherfuckers take away our ability to be in community with each other and to love each other and to celebrate things that we want to celebrate in our lives. And both things can happen. We can be in an act of resistance. We can be aware and knowledgeable about what's going on around us and celebrate the good things in our life at the same time. Not only can both things happen, both things must happen because that's how we build resilience for the fights that we have ahead.
Yes. And so therefore, podcasts like yours, people like Mark Elias and all these people working to help preserve, save, whatever you want to call it, democracy, we're all key. Every part of it is key. And like you said, it is a practice. And, you know, I mean, I know some people confuse what I do with it being a religion, which it's not, because there are no rules. It's not like there's some rule that you have to do one thing or the other. It's really just your own perception. But it's just the idea that we do have more personal power than we realize. And
you do live in a big mansion and have a fleet of gold Rolls Royces, though, too. Right.
Well, if you want to live in your imagination and live that way, you can do that. But I'm just, you know, I think it's just so important that the inner world that we have, it's like, you know, you were just saying, so many times we tell ourselves negative things and we focus on things that are negative and upsetting and we make it worse by jumping ahead. And I did that my whole life. I was always like, well, this is why it's not going to work. And you know, yeah, it worked for that other person, but it's not going to work for me. And we tend to get in these stupid ideas about, you know, because of what we're seeing out there or something happened in our experience that it has to rule our future, and it just doesn't. So
yeah, no, I was going to say it's obviously a balance too. Yeah. And another thing that I go back to a lot is the Serenity Prayer. For those who don't know it, and I'm not religious either, but I really do like this prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yes.
So for me, like doing this work, you know, being like, you know, we talk about our show, you know, we talk about news stuff, but we're not talking heads. It's always right. With the lens of what can you do about it? What's our role in it? How can, maybe there's a phone number to call. Maybe there's letters to write. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can, you know, volunteer in a campaign. Maybe we can help out in a community garden, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's always about what we can do. And so, you know, when I know that I'm doing everything that I can in my power, then it enables me to have acceptance over the things that I can't control and a little bit of peace of mind. You know, it's a struggle. It's again, not to hit the practice over the head, but, right. But it is a practice on a daily basis.
Yes, it is. Well, and then, you know, okay, now we're going to talk about the boycott because this is something we can do. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, it's the first one. It's going to be it's called Total Economic Blackout. And basically what this means is Friday, February 28th, just don't shop in any kind of like big store, Walmart. Don't go online to Amazon. Don't go online and shop the big, you know, corporate kind of, right. You know, there's so many of them. So nothing corporate. You know,
that's
no
right.
Target, no Walmart. Don't. And I'm not. Usually, I go grocery shopping on Friday, and I'm really a stickler.
You gotta do it. You gotta go today.
Well, I'm gonna go on Saturday, but I'm okay. Usually like a really like I like my routine the way I like it, and I'm very very like set in my ways. So even though it's not that big of a deal for me to go grocery shopping the next day, I really don't want to do it. So I'm gonna, you know, I'm putting aside my comfort level.
I believe in you.
I can do it. But so I just want to point out, though, because I've seen a lot of people on social media when we post about this one, the one thing that's happening tomorrow, people go, well, what's one day going to do? Number one, I did post an article on my social media pages about how boycotts are effective, that they're not the only tool we have, but they are effective. Aside from that, though, I get that there's some genuine concern about, well, what will one day do? First of all, it's not one day, and I'm going to list a couple of the other things. But I also think there are concerned trolls out there that are trying to dampen enthusiasm and act like this isn't going to matter. So what I'm doing, I'm trying my best to differentiate if this is a genuine person who just doesn't understand the benefit of, you know, fighting back with your wallet, as opposed to somebody who just comes on and say, oh, this isn't going to work because I'm going to delete those comments and I'm going to block those people. I just feel like, you know, no time. This is no time for the negative BS. I can't take it. Okay, so I'm just going to say really quickly. So again, there's February 28th, total economic blackout. So on March 7th through the 14th, we've got an Amazon boycott, which that's pretty self-explanatory. On March 21st through the 28th is a Nestle boycott. And I also listed on my social media, I have on, I think it's on my Blue Sky. It's a list, and you can Google this yourself. It's just a list of all the Nestle products, and there are a lot. So I advise people go check out, you know, who Nestle owns, and just don't buy anything for that week, March 21st through the 28th. Then on April 7th through the 14th is a Walmart boycott. April 18th is another economic blackout, just like we're doing tomorrow. And then April 21st through the 28th is General Mills. And once again, I recommend people Google, you know, the brands of General Mills and see who they cover, because sometimes it's, I can't remember if it's Nestle or General Mills. I think it's General Mills, but General Mills, I believe, owns Annie's, that, you know, the Annie's brand food. So I didn't know that. So, you know, I mean, I would recommend go check out these brands and, you know, make sure for that time period that you're not buying anything from them. And, you know, some people are saying, well, people need to eat. Well, clearly you don't need to eat General Mills to stay alive or Nestle. So, and then get everything done before or after. That's all. This is not a huge compromise for regular voters. This is something that we can do.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, have you been seeing a lot of talk about this?
Absolutely. What's encouraging is I've been seeing it in the media too. And so to address the, you know, what's one day going to do kind of comment, you know, first of all, you know, boycotts and actions like this start with one day. And exactly. as a country, you know, we are very much addicted to shopping. And this is a consumer driven economy in our country. So, it's not an easy ask to say, let's take a month off or, you know, everyone just start growing vegetables in their backyard, which, you know, in our not so unrealistic dystopian future, we may all be doing anyway. But, the one day will make an impact in a number of ways. First of all, like I said, I saw it up on Yahoo News. I saw it on the internet, and that, you know, getting earned media for our resistance and is really, really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Part of the strategy, and Steve Bannon coined the phrase flooding the field. Mm-hmm. Part of their strategy of doing so many things at once is to overwhelm the press's ability to cover things in detail, and certainly actions that we do to push back usually fall by the wayside. It's really hard to get that earned media. So the fact that we're already getting that earned media attention off of this is sending a big message. And it will have an economic message to these corporations who are capitulating and going along with the Trump regime. And, you know, this is, again, everything they do, you got to always look for the grift. It's all about money for these folks. And so, you know, when we can, you know, hit them where they, what they care about the most, it's going to have an impact, and they're going to take notice and know that there's more of us than there are of them. So it's really important. I encourage everyone to get involved and do it. Go stock up whatever you have to do today. I appreciate that you're going on Saturday. I would encourage people to go today so you don't like get hangry and realize you forgot to get your favorite snack or something, you know? So,
I did make sure that I had what I needed in advance. So we're good. We're good. We can wait till Saturday.
and another note about this too is, we do want to support our small businesses. Mm-hmm. We want to support our mom and pop businesses and that too. So, we don't want to hurt them. So if you're, you know, going shopping or going out to eat or something like that, on Friday, go to a small business and try to use cash. Go to the ATM today and get some cash so that we're not using credit cards and giving credit card companies those fees. This is about supporting each other, and this is definitely about sending a message to the corporations who, you know, I think they deserve to pay some taxes, you know, instead of cutting our healthcare. I think maybe we could get them to pay some taxes.
Yes. And I want to just add that because this is the first day, and this is really the first time, I mean, as I'm going to be 57 years old this year, and I've never experienced anything like this. You know, I mean, first of all, our country in my lifetime has never been in this situation, but I've never, you know, we might've had boycotts here and there, but nothing like this. And the first one is going to be really important, because if we can see that there is benefit from this, then
we can. If we can freak their shit out with this first one, then, you know, that's going to send a really important message.
Exactly. And it will inspire more people to join in on the next one. So, the more successful we are, the more people go, oh, okay. And it's that whole FOMO, fear of missing. I want to participate. I want to be part of this. So there's that.
People like to be on the winning team.
They do. And then there's also the whole thing, and I posted this, one of the great things about boycotts and strikes is they can't be infiltrated by the other side with violence and mayhem. So, we know that like in the Black Lives Matter protests, the right threw in bad actors, and then, you know, they were either stealing or they were violent or whatever. And then the right points to us, to the liberals, to the people on the right side and say, look, it always turns to violence. So they can't do that with the boycott. They can't throw in their bad actors and point their finger. So I do think that, you know, there are going to be MAGA who are aware, and they're going to go shopping and they're going to try to make up the difference. But if you think about it, the number of people, even just right now, there's MAGA, and then there's the Never Republicans, there's independents, and then there's liberals, Democrats and liberals.
Yep.
So there's more of us than there are of them. If they are aware, if they start trying to counter this by buying more, there's just more of us. So the more we do this, the stronger the momentum.
They're going broke. You know, they're like they voted for cheaper eggs and now they can't afford, you know, can't afford anything. So I don't think they're going to counter this by buying more stuff.
there you go. Yeah. That's a good point.
And let me just also say in terms of like the, you know, like what is this going to do? I mean, that's I think that's the biggest siren song or negative siren song that anyone has when they don't do something generally in their life. Like, what good is this going to do? You know, we are the sum of all of our parts and all of our actions. And let's make no mistake. Like, we have to be clear-eyed about this. We don't have, you know, a lot of power right now. You know, they control all three branches of government. They control the court, the Supreme Court. You know, it's vital that we build to win back in the midterms. And I sort of not so funny jokingly say this is assuming that we have elections in 26, but we have to build towards that. So, you know, the road is long, the struggle is hard, but every single thing that we do is going to make an impact. And the absolute worst thing and what they want is for us to feel despondent and feel like we don't have any power. And that's what thinking, well, this action isn't going to do very much, so it's so I may as well not do it at all. Exactly the opposite. Yeah. If we all stand up together and do these simple actions every day, one by one, that's the cumulative force. That's that diagram of all the school of fish that eat the big fish. That's how we organize, and that's how we're going to win.
100%. But, you know, we have to take a quick break, and we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. If you enjoy this conversation, please consider becoming a paid subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the tiers and subscribe today. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to switch it up here because we just saw that...
Are we going to talk reality TV now?
Well, we're going to talk... this is what scares me. And so I kind of want to ask you about this. I know that Republicans have voted to slash Medicaid. I don't know what the deal is with the Social Security. But regardless, I said this to Greg Oliar last week. I said, if they start messing with Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, and I'm not sure about the slashing part. I think if they eliminated it altogether, that would really, really freak me out. And I'll tell you why in a second. But still, slashing is bad enough because I think when they start messing with stuff like that, even though Republicans have been talking about this for years and years and years and years,
the fear
that I have is that if they start going for stuff like this, then that is telling me that they don't fear the elections, that they feel safe, that, you know, whatever it is they're doing is going to keep them in power. And I'm just wondering, I know the Medicaid thing is going to go to the Senate. What do you make of this? Like, do you think that they are – we have seen pushback, and then we've seen them kind of fold to the pushback.
It was a close vote, you know. We thought they pulled it from the floor for a few hours, and we thought it was over. And Trump was making his calls and making his threats, and they ultimately capitulated and voted it through. But it's not over. There are steps ahead. But let's be clear. What you said is 100% right. Republicans have been trying to slash, take away Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security for decades. This is part of their plan. And, you know, they call them what we need to call them are earned benefits, because that's what they are. You know, they call them entitlements, which is a misnomer. These are earned benefits. The slashing of Medicare, Medicaid rather, is going to have huge impacts, not just for people who are on that, but for hospitals, especially in rural areas that rely on that. You know, health centers and hospitals are going to close because of this. And so this is wildly unpopular with the voting public and citizens here. Taking away their health care is a third rail that I am constantly shocked that they want to touch. And mm-hmm. do they think that they're okay in the midterms if they vote to take away someone's health care? They are so fucking wrong. They're going to get slaughtered on this issue. And they are, you know, what gives me a little bit of hope is how stupid they are behaving through all of this, because they're in power. And with all the decimation, what Elon Musk is doing to these agencies and coming after Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, all of it, they could be doing this in the quiet of night. They could be, you know, like sneaking this in legislation or tying it to other things. They could decimate these agencies through the regular process. And there's not much we could do to stop them because they're in power. Mm-hmm. But because they're doing it in such a loud and public and disgusting way, people are noticing. People see what's happening. They are standing up. So what you're going to see coming into this, because there's a few more steps, it's got to go to the Senate, there's going to be a lot of debate and amendments and all of that. You're going to see a lot of town halls or empty chair town halls where healthcare advocates are going to bring folks who are telling their real stories. You know, yeah. You know, like for me, you know, my daughter was a preemie. She was a pound and a half when she was born. She's amazing. She's 22 years old and doing great. But, you know, taking away her health care and taking away my family's health care would have dire consequences. And she wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for that. So, you know, telling personal stories, that's what's going to move the needle, because people relate to that. I'll say if you're out there talking to people about this, keep it really simple. Republicans just voted to take away your health care. Mm-hmm. People don't know necessarily what Medicaid or Medicare is or understand that policy, but they do understand that they have a right to health care. That's a human right. It's the bare minimum mm-hmm. of what our government should be able to do for us.
Oh, it's just so horrifying. And the thing that I don't know is, obviously, Donald Trump, well, I'm going to say Vladimir Putin and mm-hmm. certain members of the right want to see all these slash cuts, whatever. And I just don't know if they know something we don't about, you know, elections. And what I will say is this. There was an article that came out, I think it was about a month ago, Greg Palast, that millions of voters were thrown off the rolls because of legal cheating, basically suppression. There was all kinds of suppression laws that happened in 2024. You know, there's been the talk of the illegal cheating. We're going to leave that aside for right now. We're just going to say what they were able to do legally with legislation and keeping people from voting as well as throwing out votes. We know they're going to keep doing that, right? That's a given. I know, you know, there's a lot here for me to say, so just bear with me. But I know that there's it is hard to rig elections because of the way we have it set up, in that each state handles their own. It's not like a federal thing where it's just a streamline. So each state handles their own elections. It's not impossible to rig, obviously. And I don't know what happened with those bomb threats, you know, those Russian bomb threats and all that stuff. I don't know if anything illegal happened then. But I think that there's a certain amount of, at least the way I feel about it, there's a certain amount of hope that because of this, what they're doing, like you said, it's so loud, it's so egregious. I think they're going to wake a sleeping giant. We've got like half the country that doesn't vote. And we saw a really big turnout in 2018, which is Trump's midterms. I think it was general election turnout. So I'm worried. You're worried. I'm worried. We don't know exactly what they have in store. But I think that, and I think you're going to agree with me, that once these egregious legislative acts pass and people really start, because right now, yeah, some people are feeling it. Some federal workers are feeling it. Women have certainly been feeling it since Roe was killed. But I think that there's going to be a massive, there's just so many more people are going to be going, wait a minute, I don't have Medicaid now. Wait a minute, my Social Security has been cut. Whatever it is that they're doing, they're going to start feeling it. And if they're already struggling and they're already dealing with higher gas prices and higher grocery prices and all of that, I think, do you think, just providing that we, you know, yes, they're going to put in more restrictive bills. They're going to make it harder to vote. But it's like, I have this feeling that we're going to see a turnout like we've never seen.
I agree with you. I it's both. I don't know if you're familiar with Ari Berman. He has a great book called Minority Rule, which, you know, outlines the history of the Republicans, you know, stranglehold as a minority, you know, power, and everything they've done in terms of voter suppression. And I had him on How We Win a couple of times. And, you know, just having this conversation with you, I'm like, okay, I got to call Ari. I got to get him back on. You can talk about what's going on. But, you know, I recommend people check that book out. But anyway, you know, the voter suppression, you know, any kind of dirty, and it is illegal, by the way, to call in a bomb threat. You know, and anything that they can do, they will do. To try to stifle Democratic turnout. But what I'm seeing that gives me hope right now is I was around, I used to work for Swing Left and was their national training director. I started right after Trump was elected in 2016 and worked with them 2017 through 2020. I watched the blue wave get built in 2017, and it was massive. And we had this incredible influx of volunteers that had never gotten involved before. We were just building up these programs. Indivisible was brand new. Swing Left was brand new. Sister District. And now what I'm seeing is a much greater engagement than we saw even back in 2017.
Oh, that is good. Yeah.
Where, you know, indivisible groups are blowing up. They're having hundreds and hundreds of people showing up. Same thing with Swing Left. But the bonus is back then we were building the plane while we were flying it. We were trying to figure out how to do all this stuff. Now we have the infrastructure. When volunteers come to us, we know how to use them. We know where to get people engaged and make sure that we're being effective and making an impact. And so that gives me a lot of hope. We're seeing this convergence of people. There was a lot of dim drop-off voters who didn't vote in the last election, who are, you know, showing up at protests, showing up at, you know, Tesla takedowns and stuff like that, are getting involved. You know, I think, like you mentioned, the, you know, even Republican voters who, you know, weren't really paying attention and just voted for change and voted for cheaper prices. There's a lot of anecdotal stories of buyer's remorse right now and people being like, wait a minute, you know, I thought this was going to lower prices and my life is much worse. And you know, farmers who have lost everything because of the shuttering of USAID and stuff like that. So, I got to be optimistic. That's, you know, it's like we talked about earlier, it's an intention, it's a choice. Right. And we have no other alternative because, you know, if we sit on our hands and feel like all is lost, then that is definitely a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know? And so, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a day-to-day fight and, you know, it's going to be a tough one because they're not going to play fair and there's going to be a lot of voter suppression. But you know, I have to believe that we can overcome it.
Yeah. I mean, so do I. I just hope that they don't pass the SAVE Act, which would basically disenfranchise millions of women and, you know, trans people, as well as people who have been adopted and changed their name legally and have a different name on their birth certificate than they do.
The SAVE Act is absolutely insane. It is, you know, talk about a contrast in parties. Remember when we took power, HR1 was the John Lewis voting rights.
Right.
I mean, you know, making it easier for everyone to vote, giving better access to the ballot. I mean, doesn't that sound like a democracy to you? Doesn't that sound like what we should be doing as Americans? But the SAVE Act is absolute utter garbage. And we need to do everything we can to keep that from getting signed into law.
Yes. All right. Well, now we're going to talk about one of the people that I hate this guy. I hate Elon Musk. I hate him so much.
Not likable.
No, he is not. And I mean, I was talking to my boyfriend about this because, you know, Donald Trump is clearly, you know, he's a felon. He's a mobster. He's a liar. He's been convicted basically of rape and felonies and all this stuff. He's really a horrible person. But I think that it's like the difference between what I see with him and even with Vladimir Putin compared to Elon Musk. Honestly, I think that Elon is so mentally unstable.
Yeah.
That the power that he has right now, and I mean, I'm not saying that Putin is better than Elon, so please do not misunderstand me here. But I think that both, you know, Trump and Putin have had a certain amount of power for a really long period of time, and they're kind of used to it. And with Elon, it's all, I mean, yes, he's had money and people have known his name, but what he has right now is a kind of power that no one should have, and he, I don't think he can mentally handle it.
No,
and I mean, I don't know what that means. And I don't think it means something good. I mean, whether he, you know, falls apart in front of, I don't know what's going to happen. It's just, he scares me pretty much almost more than any of them.
Because yeah. When we game out the scenarios, that his are the scariest for sure. And he's really a megalomaniac. And he has unchecked power, the mm-hmm. wealthiest man in the world. So, you know, I think about this with all of these, you know, ultra wealthy billionaires, and people who are in Trump's orbit too. You know, they're just not hinged in reality in any way, shape, or form. You know, they live on this plane that is doesn't bear any resemblance to how any, you know, regular people on this planet live. Yeah. And in Elon Musk's case, you know, and we can't really know what's in his mind, you know, but I do fear that he is so reckless and so self-confident, has such an overstated opinion of himself that he wants to completely crash the dollar. He wants to completely crash our economy. He wants everything to run through crypto, his crypto, his banking systems. He wants the federal government to go through this kind of Twitter version of Venmo. And I really believe he wants to occupy Mars. He cares nothing about this planet and wants to create like bunkers for his wealthy friends on the planet Mars. It's fucking insane to really say is. All those things out loud to you on a podcast that other people are listening to. Like, who is this guy, Steve Pearson? What the hell is he saying? that these things would be within the realm of possibility for someone who actually holds the keys to our government agencies right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is where we are. And this is why it's so vital that we all stand up against this.
Yes, 100%. And the thing I want to ask you about, too, is now we're hearing, you know, Steve Bannon hates him. He called him a parasitic illegal immigrant. And then I'm not sure if I'm going to say this name correctly. Rick Grenell had said something about torching Musk's bogus claim and said that USAID has funded nonprofits for supporting terrorism. So ultimately, he's
quite the
got,
opposite.
Yes, he's got some people on the right who hate him, and I don't know. I mean, but here's, I don't know, talk me down. I don't know. This freaks me out, because I know that, granted, you know, he gave Trump all that money.
I have bad news for you if you brought me on here to talk you down.
But the thing this is what scares me, and I don't even know what we could do about this. But, you know, Vladimir Putin and Elon Musk were talking on the phone a bunch of times, and so I think that they, you know, they're allies. And I think it was, you know, it was this character on Twitter, and then I haven't seen him lately, but he goes by Jack Smith. Obviously, it wasn't the real Jack Smith, but had said that Trump was basically the figurehead. You know, he was just the face of the party to get him elected. That Putin is really the one who, and then Musk, they're really the ones controlling things. And if you look at, you know, the whole Oval Office thing with Elon and his child. And, you know, he and there have been a couple of different times where Elon's, you know, appeared on interviews with Trump. And so there's talk right now that perhaps, you know, there's the GOP doesn't like Musk. But I feel like if Putin wants him there, Putin is the one controlling what's happening. You know, I've talked about this on my show so many times. On the 11th of November, the Russian news agency, you know, put out this article. It was some Russian Putin aide who was saying, okay, yeah, well, we helped Trump and now it's time for Trump to help us. I think we're seeing that play out. I think Elon Musk is part of this. But so I guess my question to you here is, do you think that there's going to be enough of a split in the Republican Party with Republicans who just can't deal with Elon Musk? Or do you think that, you know, they're just going to have all the power until possibly we take over in the 26 elections?
Those are great questions. The first part, obviously, you just look at the actions and, you know, the evidence is all pointing towards Putin and his influence. And, you know, as simple as the voting against the UN resolution that against Russia, you know, in the Ukrainian war and saying that Ukraine started the war. I mean, that's terrifying. And so, you know, Putin's influence is 100% there. We talk about USAID. It's not a coincidence that that's the first agency that they went after, because Putin's been trying to decimate USAID for a long time. Because when there is a void of aid and a void of the kind of anti-terrorism resources that USAID does in you know, these countries all over the world, that's where Russia and China can come and fill that void and garner influence. And they've already done that in a large extent in Africa. And so, you know, coming after USAID is really sad. First of all, my father-in-law was early USAID and did a lot of programs all over the world, you know, and did a lot of good. It's part of his legacy. But, you know, it's part of this restructuring, geopolitical restructuring, that is really terrifying to, you know, have, you know, more of these countries relying on Russia and China than, you know, the U.S. Will Republicans stand up to this? Are they going to get fed up with Elon Musk? We're seeing some of that, you know, behind the scenes. We're starting to see some members who don't want their power diminished. I think that's where the pressure point's going to be. You know, they're going to go along with, you know, wherever they think they can retain power. But when their power is being diminished and where they think they're not going to be reelected or, you know, in those scenarios, that's where we can really move the needle on some of these Republicans. But it's tough because they are in lockstep with Trump. This is a definitely a MAGA Republican Party anymore. And you know, you were talking about like the lesser of who evil or who's the worst, you know, Mitch McConnell voting against Cash Patel. I guess Mitch McConnell is our shining star right now. Thank you for your great legacy, Mitch McConnell, standing up for our values. You know, it's, you know, you have to dig really, really deep to find any Republicans with backbone, or that care anything other than their own power, money, or political future. So, but that's the pressure point for them is those three things. Yeah. So that's what we have to keep pushing on.
All right. Well, this is the last question I have. And it's kind of, you know, we've been talking about every day. There's just devastating news. It's extremely hard to take. It's like a punch in the gut, one after the other, after the other. And, you know, depending on who you are, some things are going to affect you. And everything's going to affect everybody, but I'm just talking about like people on Medicaid are going to be experiencing, you know, real world right now stuff if they cut it. Whereas if you're not on Medicaid, you're just going to be watching it. But it, like you said, it's going to affect hospitals. So it's going to affect all of us. But I think that as we watch, you think, okay, well, right now I'm still kind of safe. And I mean, that's what I think of. It's like, okay, well, you know, right now I've got this on my side, but I don't know what's going to happen to this tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. So how do we, you know, we're going to have to pace ourselves. And so I just wanted to ask, since you've got the Practivist Pod, and we did talk about this and touch on this a bit, but like, what do you recommend doing? Whether it's, you know, civil action or if it's self-care or combination of both, what can we do to stay sane?
Yeah, well, go to the Practivist Pod or practivistpod.com. And, you know, we've got our link trees have links to you know, different actions. I also encourage you to follow Jess Craven and subscribe to Chop Wood, Carry Water. Her newsletter is excellent. She puts it out every day with daily actions to do. Great. And so we can put those out there. There's things for everyone to do, no matter who you are, no matter what your skill set is. You do have agency. You do have power. That's what got me into this work. Was I felt so hopeless. And once I started doing this work, I found out that we really do have the power to affect change, especially when we come together and do it in community with each other. So check out those resources. And we're always updating what we have on the Practivist Pod. And you know, that's our whole trip. Yeah. Is getting folks engaged and getting them, you know, doing simple actions that make an impact.
Really cool. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for stopping by. I mean,
thank you.
You're welcome. But it's just, it's so weird because the show for me is not what it used to be. It just, right. You know, this country is not what it used to be. Everything has changed. And it's important for me to have these conversations, even though part of me just wants to just leave. Like, I just don't want to even worry and think about it anymore. But it is important for me to have these kind of conversations, to feel like I'm, you know, reaching, even if I'm only reaching a small group of people. I think that, you know, the guests that I'm having on are, I'm really trying to focus on how we can make a difference in a positive way. And so thank you for everything. Thank you for what you're doing. I really appreciate it. And before I let you go, I know it's the Practivist Pod, but give us all your links. Where can we find you?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Blue Sky. It's Blues Boy Steve at the social, bluesky.social, whatever that handle is. but it's Blues Boy Steve plus that other stuff. Okay. You know, you can find me at stevepearson.com. Goes to my link tree with all of my stuff there, too.
Cool. Well, I have links in the description of this show. Thank you so much, Steve. It's awesome talking to you, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for what you're doing. It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter,
and grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with change makers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool and let's kick it.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.